do you want to take out the trash today? Fuck! Yes!
Hello! Welcome to Practice Makes Podcasts, where we talk about topics on self-improvement because we feel like we need it, and maybe you do too. What do you think, Jordy?
I think we're doing a wonderful public service, and not just because the municipal courts have ordered us to do so, but because we actually love what we do.
Spectacular addition. Thank you. So our topic for today is toxic people, boundaries, and choosing friends. But I actually did it backwards because we're going to talk about choosing friends first.
Yes, it's good to start with the positives and then slowly regress into something very dark and negative to end the episode with.
So, how does Jordy, choosing... sorry, you think that we don't choose our friends?
No, to a large extent.
Are you wearing a light-up bracelet on your wrist?
Oh, yeah, I did mini golf with my coworkers the other day, and it was like glow in the dark.
Oh.
And I'm notoriously bad about forgetting stuff that's on my wrist, so I've left them on for like 3 days now.
Oh, I thought maybe you went to a rave or something. I hadn't noticed that this entire time.
No, I'm not that cool anymore. I never knew where the raves were. I was never well connected enough to know where the rave was.
I was at a party once where there was like a rave in the basement, and I may or may not have tried to get in. But that's, I think, that was the epitome of my cool moment, I think. And that
I did,
was short-lived.
I did go to a few raves in my day. Oh, God, I have to talk about this. do you know the cartoon movie Beauty and the Beast?
Of course.
Yeah, like the father of Belle, the main girl, his name is Maurice. He's like a kind of a crazy old inventor.
Yeah.
Like someone he goes and he tries into the tavern. He tries to warn people that his daughter's been kidnapped, and they throw him out. And like Gaston's talking about him and saying like, everyone knows that her father's a lunatic. He was in here tonight raving about like crazy spells and beasts. And someone like took that clip and they edited it and they said, everyone knows her father's a lunatic. He was in here tonight raving. And then it shows Maurice like with glow sticks in his hand and they're like spinning around. And then they throw him out of the tavern and the glow sticks fly out with him. It's just, I have to send it to you.
Yeah, I had to talk.
Maybe we should edit that out because people won't know what the heck I'm talking about.
I think they will. That's amazing. Actually, we should put that link in our show notes.
Yes, I will find the video before we get off the phone tonight, and
okay,
we'll put it in the show notes so people can see that magnificent clip. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
No, I largely don't think we really choose our friends in the sense that it's really our circumstances that decide who our friends are. And our social, like, group is, like, we always end up being friends with people from our school, from our work, from our church, from our rave community. So, I don't know, it's almost like we're physically bound to... It's like we're predestined to be friends with the people that we're friends with.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, boldly, of course, that you and I are friends.
Yeah.
So you agree without hesitation. Yes. Great.
You're my best friend.
I remember in second grade that I was drawn to you. And I think the reason why was because you, like, I just knew some, I don't remember how I knew, but you were really, like, nice.
Mm.
Yeah, you and your brother were just, like, very nice, and I knew that I could approach you. Because I'm, like, so I think I've always been, like, a loud and boisterous person. Like, I'll go right up to someone and be like, hi. even especially as a child. And I think like you were quiet and like maybe that was it too. I was like, this kid is quiet, I'm gonna go fuck with him or something. And I was like, hi.
So you had like just a feeling that we were gonna be friends right away.
Yeah, and maybe it's because I like quiet people. Like those are the people that I approach.
Oh my God, I have a terrible instinct for that. I remember it was earlier this year when we moved into the city. We, like, there's this bar not too far away from us, and we ended up, like, just sitting there and talking with the barman, and we were having a good time. We were just having drinks, and we were yucking it up, and I thought things were going, like, really well, and I said to him, hey, it would be really fun if you came over to our place and had dinner one night. And his face, like his eyes widened. He just like was like, why would I do that? What do you mean? And I just like, I don't know. It would just be fun to like get to know each other and be friends. And he's like, I don't know about that. Like that's just not like, he just like was really uncomfortable.
He thought
that.
You and, wanted a threesome.
I guess so, or something. He thought I got some kind of creepy vibe from me, but I was like, God, I didn't excuse me for wanting to make a friend and being open about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That was like his being creeped out creeped me out. And I was just like, you're not normal to me.
Yeah. Making friends sometimes is kind of like awkwardly dating, but I mean, I guess Bumble has this, you know, it's this app. Where it's like a dating app that women initiate the conversation, but there's also an option to like meet friends instead, and it's just as awkward as it would be in real life, where you're like approaching a woman like, hi, I don't want to have sex with you. I just like, maybe we could like watch a movie. I don't know. What do we do together as friends? Like it's.
Yeah, it's really hard those first like few months or something where the person thinks that you're hitting on them. Like I remember, yeah, there'd be times when I'd want to be friends with like a girl, and I would just always have to like think of ways to like, oh, I'll have to invite like other people along when I propose doing something, because yeah. They'll like be totally creeped out.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's a great tactic. Also you said that you like, I asked you, how did you meet your best friends?
How did I meet my best friends?
Yeah.
It was such a gradual thing. Like, I guess it started with you and me. It started in second grade.
And you didn't even know. I knew who you were.
Yeah. For me, I feel like becoming friends with someone, it's not like that movie with Will Ferrell and
are you thinking of Step Brothers?
Step Brothers, yeah. Like they start listing all these things that they like, and they go, "Did we just become best friends?" Yep. And it's like I don't think I've had I've obviously had moments where I've said, "Oh, I think you're my friend," but it's basically been the culmination of like months of trust building and getting to knowing one another. So when I was a younger fellow, my great wisdom and insight, I came up with a recipe for building a relationship, and I still think it rings true today. It was called time and exposure. Like, in order to get a relationship, you need to know the person for X amount of time, and you need to spend X amount of time with them, building trust, building experiences. That's the term in psychology that a friend told me was a frame of reference.
Nice. So what do you think, like, at what point can you be like, oh, wait, are we official? Is this officially a friendship? Can we put it on Facebook? Not really.
It's probably when you start like sending messages to each other on Messenger. That's like the now new term.
I haven't done that with yet.
I think it's when you start doing activities with that person like voluntarily. So if no, it's like, okay, you're in school, like you have to be in school, unfortunately. Right. And you know, you're seeing your classmates every day, and there's just like this one moment when your classmate's like, do you want to come to my house and play PlayStation? It's like, that has to be a consensual and like voluntary act. And so, then,
but if you're an introvert, not to bring that up on like 50, 70% of our episodes, but
I haven't noticed.
You would be, as an introvert, you would probably be like, ooh, like that sounds like work. And then maybe, but maybe if you really liked that person, you would say, you would have like a fuck yes. Like, have you ever heard that anything that isn't a fuck yes is a no? Have you ever heard that?
No.
I tried to kind of live like that for a little while, especially when I'm like at a thrift store shopping. You know, anything that isn't a fuck yes is a no at a thrift store for sure. But in life, nothing for me is a fuck yes.
Is if I'm understanding correctly, like if you're not 100% like totally jazzed about doing it, then you say no.
Yeah.
You would never do anything. Do you want to work at 7-Eleven?
What's that?
Fuck yes! Do you want to take out the trash today? Fuck yes! You would literally die.
Yeah. Do you want to take a shower?
No.
No. It's a no because it's not a podcast.
Yeah, that's a terrible philosophy.
I do like the idea of what you're saying. It's time and exposure. And I also think that something that I always find in common with people that gets me to want, you know, a friendship with them is that they talk about what I want to talk about. And, but most importantly, their sense of humor aligns with mine.
So you're able to start joking with the person?
I think I like when people make me laugh. And I think they like it when I make them laugh.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, I do have friends that I feel like they're really serious. But I mean, everyone has this. Yeah, I mean, everyone has some kind of humor about them. Like, I can't think of anyone that I'm close with that never laughs at all. But
yeah, I can't. I don't think I know anyone super serial.
Yeah, so maybe able to laugh with the person is like a... is like a good marker for when you've got friendship on your side.
Yeah. So if you aren't like a humorous person, there's probably no hope for you.
Well, you might be less likely to have friends as the humorless. I don't know. I don't know how the other side lives.
The humorless.
The sticks in the mud.
Yeah. I can't even think of anyone right now because I don't want to. I don't even want to go that deep.
I'm trying to think, like, I know people who are like very serious most of the time, but I mean, there will still be moments when they can laugh about something and it might like be dry humor and not like the same kind of like childish, like stuff that we giggle about. But
I think that there is like I can accommodate for people that, aren't funny. I can get along with people that oddly just like talk way too much, because if I can't laugh at what they're saying, they might as well just keep talking, like, because I have nothing to say. I don't know, that might not even be true. I've said a lot of things I don't believe in later on, so.
Well, that's part of what like we want to talk about with boundaries, right? Like, I think one thing, you kind of go through like this period of negotiation with someone that you're getting to know, where you realize like what their kicks are and what their, you know, their turnoffs are. Mm. Not necessarily in the sexual sense, but
not necessarily, right?
Not necessarily.
Most of us aren't fucking our friends.
No,
or most of us are. I don't know. What are the statistics?
We'll have to We'll put a link in the description. No, I don't want to look that up. But
how many people are just banging their friends?
How many people have friends with benefits?
As opposed to just friends.
So boundaries. Like, I feel like someone you can be friends with and someone that you have a successful relationship, there one element is knowing your boundaries with that person. So like you said, this person's not necessarily going to want to joke all the time. Mm. And this other person's never going to listen to what I have to say, so I'm just going to let them talk. So those people, even though like they might not necessarily become your closest friends ever, I think, you know, you can still consider them as friends. It's just they have a more limited set of boundaries than like what someone you might be closer with is.
Yeah, boundaries are an interesting concept for me, but I do think that from what I can understand is that I have different boundaries with different people. It's not like you just set a boundary and like that's how you live, where you're just like, no one can talk to me like I'm a piece of meat.
Well, some people do. Like, some people are like really limited in what they are willing to accept. Yeah. And so they'll probably get along with a lot less people.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, if you're really rigid.
But if you're like a more open-minded person, then you're going to have like more flexibility. So like, you know, this person doesn't like when you talk down to them or when you criticize them. Well, then, you know, I want to be friends with that person, so I'm just never going to criticize them.
Yeah. And I guess so boundaries are made to protect your like psyche or something, maybe. So there are some people that can talk about really weird like sexual things. I don't know why I keep going there. Maybe it's because I've had some wine, but like there are some people that can talk about like weird sexual things and it like does not faze me at all. And then there are some people that when they say it, I'm like, ooh, this is creepy. I don't like it. And so that would be like a boundary with just that person, even though with these other people, there's just zero.
Oh, interesting.
Regulation.
Like with some people, you're more like open, and with other people's, you're less comfortable about breaching certain subjects.
I would think. And I wonder if it has something to do with like what I assume our friendship will be. Like, it will stay maybe very professional, and I know that we're never going to be friends because they already have their life and I'm not ever going to get invited to their Christmas party. It's making it sound like I'm talking about something very specific, but this isn't very, it's just like a...
Are you still harping on about the holidays? That was over a month ago.
Over a month ago. What was I saying?
Well, all I can say is developing boundaries. Unfortunately, I think it's just a trial and error kind of thing. And so we almost inevitably have to live through these like awkward and uncomfortable moments we're getting to know people. And so there'll be like these awkward moments when you like, oh, I'm going to put my hand on this person's shoulder and they like wince and look up at you and you're like, oh my God, am I going to get like a sexual harassment claim filed against me?
They wince. That's definitely happened to me. I'm like a very touchy person. I just reach out and there's like a moment of like energetic, like realization where you sometimes you're like, oh, I won't touch them. And then it's like awkward. You reach out to touch someone and you realize you shouldn't and you pull back. It's like talk show hosts will do that when they have like celebrities. They like go to touch them and then they don't.
Reach out and touch me. Yeah, I'm a very touchy-feely person. Like I like to give hugs and...
You said we had nothing in common. You're like, we don't have that much in common. And that's,
I did not. I said there's some things that we don't have.
It's literally everything except for geopolitics. And what was my thing? Geopolitics
going
is your thing.
Fitness.
Fitness.
I don't like being healthy.
My thing is fitness and yours is geopolitics. Otherwise, we agree on most topics.
No, I don't agree that geopolitics exists.
I have zero interest in it. That's the only thing. You've never really talked about it, although I think if you did, I would tune out. I would start to fall asleep. The screen would go brighter because I would have shifted to something else.
Yeah, the key is to talking to someone about something they're not interested in, is to be able to condense it into like 10 seconds or less. You might be able to get like little bits of like interesting information to the person.
Feel good about what you've presented. They didn't give a shit, but you're like, yeah, I got it out. I feel better about it.
Well, that way you avoid the glazed over look.
What do you do when the glazed over look happens? Like, how do you come back from that?
I just try and wrap up the story or whatever I'm talking about as quick as possible. I had a friend who told me once that he would just throw in something crazy in the end, like, so yeah, anyway, I was going antiquing the other day and I found this really nice lamp that I just thought was so beautiful. And it was like from the 1950s and that's my favorite era. And you see the eyes glazing over and you're like, anyway, I picked up the lamp and I smashed it on the floor and I gave the finger to the lady at the store.
I can't think on my toes like that. I'd have to have some canned responses. The next time someone starts tuning out to whatever I'm saying, I'm going to say this specific thing. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So that's part of the boundaries things, is knowing what people are going to be completely bored by. And maybe that's something that we're trying to establish with our audience, or lack thereof, is what things can we talk about without their eyes glazing over? Or their finger clicking that X button.
The X button. Yeah, I think you seem to really have a good grasp on what boundaries are.
I think so, because I've had so many awkward experiences. My life has been one awkward, embarrassing experience after another, so.
So that's how you became good at boundaries.
I think you just have to be able to get to read people, like know what this person wants and what this person doesn't want. So it's a little bit of a guessing game. It's a lot of intuition.
Maybe you're like a cyborg where you can like see.
Like, I have the Terminator vision.
Yeah, you're like, this person doesn't like when I touch their shoulder.
like. Sarah Josephine Carter likes puppies, Game of Thrones, and throw pillows, dislikes politics, religion,
and politics.
Bed Bath & Beyond, because she had a bad experience where she got thrown out when they wouldn't take her coupon.
So what about toxic people?
I'm trying to see how that plays into boundaries.
How do you know when you're dealing with someone who's toxic? Because a lot of the time, like especially with, say, dating, this is obviously about friendships, but something that they teach you now that we know more about it is that a lot of the time we go into the date being like, oh, I hope they like me. But then what you're supposed to do is say, like, well, I like them. And you kind of see where you align. Like, are our values similar? And actually analyze the situation rather than going into it hoping that someone will like you. So in this case with, like, friendship, you know, sometimes, like, how do you know when someone's toxic or when it's time to, you know, start to put up some boundaries around someone that maybe they weren't there before?
I think one thing that people would have the tendency to do is just like label someone that they don't get along with as being toxic. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you don't have the same interests or you don't have the same values. Then that means you just don't get along with that person, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to be like the best friend in the world for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so I would tend to look at it as saying, like based off of my experiences as a toxic person is just inevitably like negative with everyone, like unable to have positive interactions. It's just constant fighting, constant drama, constant disorder.
Yeah, like, they create their environment around them to suit what they're used to. And it's not like they want to be cruel or that they're doing it on purpose. But I think the term toxic comes from this idea that it's like, you know, like a mushroom or mold or something. It's like toxic mold. It's growing in from the floorboards and it starts to kind of come up the walls. And before you know it, it's in your lungs and you're affected by it and you have to like heal from it and stuff like that. So recognizing toxic people, you know, their red flags and stuff, you feel like you're walking on eggshells around them. And I think when I've dealt with people like this before, it never feels like I have to make a decision right then and be like, this person isn't good for me. And I hate, you know, to write people off for silly things, because you can definitely, it's not like we're perfect and we know always what's going on to a T. But they kind of just, those kind of things kind of work themselves out. And it's almost validating in a way when you're like, wow, this doesn't feel right. I kind of feel like uncomfortable with this. And then eventually it plays itself out and everyone's feeling that way. Like you said, it's more systemic. It's not just like, I don't like this person, they're toxic, like how you're imagining it. Everyone is experiencing it.
Yeah, I think it works like a tumor in a way, a toxic person. Like they just multiply, they just take up space, and they just become this malignant mass that just takes up all the space, like in everyone's minds. Like say like a toxic coworker, it's just like they're always spreading their negativity everywhere, and it's like all that anyone can like think about. Like people are only talking about like this thing that this person's spreading, and it just, it becomes all consuming and just you're hopeless, and the only way to fix the situation is to get rid of that person, like you would get rid of a tumor.
Wow, that's mean.
Well, I've definitely known people like that.
Yeah, it reminds me of the family dynamics where in the center of the family's world, there's like the addict or the narcissist. So this person is like maybe an alcoholic, or maybe they're like a narcissist. And then everyone else in the family takes on these different roles, like scapegoat, hero, the clown. There's all these different roles that people take on, and everyone starts revolving around this person, and everyone gets involved in that drama, and it's magnetic, and it's so hard to ignore. At least for me, I've always had trouble ignoring all that, unfortunately. What about you?
Well, yeah, like they become, yeah, I guess it's like what I was saying, like they become the center of attention.
Yeah.
And it's like there can't be, like they take up all of the space. Like if someone's like an alcoholic and they come into the family home like fucked up every night, then that's obviously going to derail like everything for everyone.
Yeah, it becomes like the most interesting thing happening.
Yeah, well, it's just it becomes louder, the loudest thing in the room.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
No.
Because I don't know. I don't think people, I wouldn't consider someone who's like always the center of the tension, like the life of a party. I don't think that would qualify like as a toxic person.
Oh, God, no.
That's the opposite. Someone that you
want. Yeah. I mean, I think it part, like what classifies it is what it's doing to the people around it. And I feel like now I'm saying it. I guess it could be a he or she. So it is a good word to use.
I have known people that were like so much the life of the party and like so charismatic, and that it did. I still don't want to say toxic, but it became like, it became like a negative thing to where like whenever I was going out with this person, like they were always the center of attention, like always leading the conversation. And it was like, well, I can't get to know these other people that are here. I can't get to know what they think and what they say.
I hope you're not talking about me.
Oh, how did you know? No, I wasn't talking about you, but I can't say who it is. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, don't say who it is. But I feel like by the time we get to the like closing of our conversations, I'm like, wait, I'm starting to feel attacked. We've been talking. Maybe this is like every conversation I have with people is like towards the end. I'm like, wait, do you hate me? What would bring this to a beautiful ending? Oh, if you hated me. That would make everything make more sense.
No, I don't hate you. Much the opposite.
Well, that's lovely, because on our last episode, we did end it by saying I love you.
You asked me earlier, like, what's the good way, or how do you know someone is your friend? And I think one thing, if you're having, like, a conflict or an issue with someone, you're getting in an argument with a close friend, I think one thing that tells you that you're really close to that person is you say, is this conflict more important to me than my friendship with this person? Like, can I resolve this and overcome this in order to stay close with this person because I want to, because I care about them, I love them. So I would say that that's something always to have in mind if you're having a little tiff with your friend over because you weren't in agreement with the last week's hockey score or something like that.
And it's not like the end of the world, you know, in this moment to be like, can I deal with this bullshit for the rest of my life? Like it's play by play, you know, like this circumstance. No. Yeah. This relationship is more important than this argument. And then if the arguments continue and they end up being like really toxic for you, like trying to break down your boundaries that you've put up and stuff like that, then you question that again and again. And it's like any relationship, you know, it's going to end when it's going to end. You don't have to be, you know, make a definitive decision to be like, this isn't good for me. But more and more you start to discover that it's not benefiting you anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you should not give up on people so easily just because there's one or two negative things, but it's also important to know when to walk away, and that too can be a healthy thing.
Yeah, or even just create a little space and come back later.
Yeah, take a time out.
Yeah.
Speaking of time out, is that all the time we have for today?
Well, I suppose so.
Well, it's been a fun one, and I hope we're establishing a good frame of reference with our audience, and hopefully we'll learn what they like to hear and what they don't like to hear. But yeah. I'm having fun, so that's all that matters.
It's all that matters. And don't forget to talk to us on Facebook and Instagram, and don't forget to check out that raving link in the show notes.
Yes, I'm going to look that up now. And yes, feel free to reach out to us and let us know what you think.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And be sure to subscribe or follow or whatever. No pressure. And if you'd like to support the show, feel free to click the Support This Podcast button or follow the link in the show notes.
Another way to support us is to send a message to Facebook at Practice Makes Podcast or on Instagram at PMPPod to suggest a topic for the show. Also, all these links can be found in the show notes. Thanks.
Bye.